Before I begin this morning, I'd like to express just what an honor and a privilege it is to share the pulpit with Reverend Kent and so many wise members of the congregation this year. I'm so very grateful to be here with you at USG and to be standing at this pulpit. Thank you. The last several years of my life have felt a lot like doing the hokey pokey. I imagine you're all familiar with that beloved children's song, and don't worry, I'm not going to make you do the hokey pokey this morning. I think I heard that you've done that a couple times before with your minister, so I know you're all familiar with the lyrics. You put your right foot in, you put your right foot out, you put your right foot in, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey, and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Most of my adult life has been kind of like this, as I've attempted to live into some sense of purpose. It's been a slow, at times cautious, sequence of mini steps interspersed with sudden, all-engaging action as I've tried things out with different parts of myself, of my being, shaking it out and turning myself around all in the same moment. The process of testing the waters, of searching out our calling, often starts early in our lives. We look for clues all around us as to who we are, who we might become, what we are called to do in this world. In my senior year of high school, I received some surprising news in regards to my life's vocation. As part of our preparation to embark upon our impending lives as young adults, we were required to take an exam that would measure our aptitudes and our dispositions in order to determine exactly what line of work we were most suited for. Many of you have probably taken a similar type of test at one point or another. And at the time, I was applying for colleges. And I thought I might be interested in architecture or urban planning. Many of you know that I'm from Chicago, and I was a city girl through and through. So I was very excited to see what exactly the career path was that I had in store for me. And the surprising results of the test came back with the news that I should put all of my effort into becoming a forest ranger. Not exactly what I was expecting, and no, I didn't end up studying environmental management or spending any summers living in a cabin in the woods. My vocational trajectory has not followed a clear linear path to the National Park Service, though I am grateful it has for so many. But what I recall so vividly from that day taking the test and filling in those little bubbles with my number two pencil was the anticipation, the yearning for a clue. We are all looking for clues, indicators, direction. Do I turn right or do I turn left? Do I follow this path or another? And the searching happens at many different points in our lives, at natural points of ending and beginning, like moving from one city to another, or transitioning through different parts of our education, perhaps ending a career and beginning retirement. At times, we welcome these forks in the road, and at other points, this change is thrust upon us, and we can feel like we're drifting about without any real anchor. At all of these moments, we search for some guiding way forward. Often, we look for a set of straightforward steps that will take us out of the murkiness and right on to the next thing. For the most part, I have resisted any attempts at mapping out my career plans in any clear way. In a former life, I led leadership trainings. And one of the tools that we used was called a Personal Political Leadership Plan. Sounds really good, right? PPLP for short. And this plan asks you to envision where you'd like to be in 5 years' time and to plot it out, point by point, how you would arrive at this place. Now, a suggestion was made that we, as staff, create our own PPLPs, that we envision where we'd be in 5 years and plot out our futures. I rejected the thought of this with every fiber of my being and basically refused to do one. And you could say that I was simply afraid. Afraid of the not knowing. Afraid of my own uncertainty and what that said about my lack of inner direction. Afraid that my plotted course would perhaps require changes of me that I just didn't want to make. But I believe that my resistance held another meaning. I also had some sense that this particular process would not help me listen to my innermost voice, to my heart's call. It is true that sometimes we grab onto clues that lead us away from our true purpose. We can choose to walk down paths that appear to be leading in the right direction, and yet end up making us feel even more lost. Yet these misdirections are part of the journey as well. We can find opportunity and meaning in these unexpected side roads. The educator and writer Parker Palmer offers us another way of understanding these misdirections. And he tells of his time of searching at Pendle Hill, the Quaker Study and Retreat Center over in Wallingford. Feeling lost and in need of guidance, he consulted Ruth, an older Quaker woman in the community. And in her wise manner, she said to him, "In 60 plus years of living, way has never opened in front of me. But a lot of way has closed behind me." And that's had the same guiding effect. Reflecting on that interaction, Parker writes, "There is as much guidance in what does not and cannot happen in my life as there is in what can and does." My path to ministry involved some way closing behind me. After a few years working in Washington, D.C. with that leadership training organization, I had a feeling that it was time for a change. I wasn't finding as much fulfillment in my work and was growing increasingly restless. And although I had resisted the notion of plotting out my future, I still fell into the trap of letting logic reign. And my head told me that business school was a rational next step. I could learn about systems and organizational management and effective social change. So I did the research and collected all the information. Yet all along, something felt a little bit off. And I didn't do all that well on my exams. And in the end, I didn't get into any of the business schools I had applied to. So instead of pursuing the clear point A to point B that business school would have offered, I enrolled in seminary. And no, seminary wasn't the consolation prize in all of this. Far from it. It was, in fact, what I felt nudged towards, but would only give partial attention. I felt nudged enough to submit applications not only to business school, but to divinity schools as well. So at the same time, I had opened the door wide open to the possibility of the fast track to organizational leadership. I had a little more gently cracked a window and was peering through it at a life of deeper faith commitment. As way opens and closes, our lives can take on many shapes. Rainer Maria Rilke offers us another image or shape to consider in our reading today. He writes, "I live my life in widening circles that reach out across the world. I may not complete this last one, but I give myself to it. I circle around God, around the primordial tower. I've been circling for thousands of years, and I still don't know. Am I a falcon, a storm, or a great song?" I love this image. For me, this circling not only liberates us from traditional notions of how we progress through life, but it also alludes to that center around which we live and move and have our being, that central meaning and purpose. Sometimes we only catch a glimpse of what this central meaning is. A clue falls into our laps without our even asking. A few years after that forest ranger prediction, I was living and working on a farming collective in a fairly remote part of Nicaragua. And my purpose there had little to do with environmental stewardship, yet walking through forests became an almost daily activity. And on one particular afternoon, I was working alongside the 14-year-old daughter of one of the women who owned a part of this farming collective. We were engaged in the somewhat tedious task of clearing land with machetes. And for some weeks prior to this, I had been suffering from a deep melancholy and near depression. I felt completely lost and displaced, and deeply questioned what I was doing there and whether I had made a huge mistake. Yet I kept at it, nurturing relationships and throwing myself into the life of a farmhand. That afternoon, as we quietly went about our work, bent low, thwacking away at the tangle of weeds that came up to our knees, it may have been stormy that day, I don't really recall, but all of a sudden, there was a sudden rush of wind that seemed to shake the trees from their tall, leafy tops all the way down to their thick bases. And I stopped what I was doing, and I looked straight up into the trees. And in this moment of awe, I felt as if the wind had a message for me, as if it was beckoning me with its roar to wake up, to feel life's call. In the forest that day, I didn't hear a voice calling to me. This was no Samuel moment, Samuel the prophet from the Hebrew scriptures, who's startled awake in the depths of the night by God's calling to him. No, this was no Samuel moment, no divine voice instructing me in what to do next with my life. So what was it exactly? I believe, as Rilke writes, that I was circling around that primordial tower and getting close enough that I could see and feel that deepest calling to life with clarity. It has taken many more years of living for this deep calling to take its shape, grappling with questions of how best to contribute to the vast movement for social change. My search has taken me to New Mexico, motivating young people to participate in our democratic system as voters, to Massachusetts to organize nursing home and home health care aides for their rights in the workplace, to Washington, D.C., training people in a variety of roles in politics and nonprofits. All the while, I've been circling and searching. And I didn't know I was looking for Unitarian Universalism, yet it was in Unitarian Universalist community that I was reminded of that feeling, that deep sense of call that I encountered in that forest in Nicaragua. I couldn't shake the feeling as I became more engaged and involved with UU congregations that this is exactly where I belonged. It's what nudged me towards seminary, as resistant as I may have been. Over time, I've come to realize that this listening and paying attention is part of the journey as well. Listening to the hush of our souls. We all listen in different ways. You might find that taking solitary walks is your best way of being in tune, or reading great literature. We may each listen in a variety of ways, depending on our mood or the season of our lives. Listening in community, in relationship with others, has become an essential way that I listen for that deep call. One of these moments happened for me while I was at a service at All Souls Church in DC. During a child dedication one Sunday, the minister turned to the grandmother of one of the babies being dedicated that morning and asked her the standard question during this ritual: do you dedicate yourself to this child and her parents? Usually, the response to this question during the ceremony is a predictable yes. But in this instance, the woman turned her gaze lovingly upon her grandchild and declared, "Con toda mi vida," with all my life. With all my life. Isn't this what we are after? To find that to which we so gladly might dedicate our whole self. Con toda mi vida. What is it for you? What is it that calls that deepest part of your heart? If you haven't gotten the sense yet, I don't believe it is at all easy or straightforward to identify this central purpose. I have arrived at some conclusions now that I am committed to strengthening lives of faith, mine and others, that I am called to respond with loving action to the world's needs. These conclusions are evolving, as I imagine yours are as well. Yet no matter what shape our lives take over time, straight line, squiggly line, broad circles, mountain peaks and valleys, we put our whole selves in, turning ourselves around, shaking ourselves about, listening for the ways we can say, yes, con toda mi vida, with all my life. Let us now join our voices together in hymn number 128, "For All That Is Our Life."